Hello and welcome to the National Institute for Gamer Review. I am DK.
I am Lewis. Remember when this show was about video games?
No, it's been so long. I don't.
Yeah.
We got some funny comments. Yeah, people were like, hello, I would like to ask about video games. Where are the video games? Yeah, so I had to, you know, my hiatus, I was just very busy, and I just haven't had a chance to advance much in Elden Ring. I'm going to fix that. But in the meantime, we thought we would talk about something more general that we both have an interest in, but I think are somewhat on opposite sides of.
It's a generational divide, you fucking boomer.
Definitely a generational divide, 100%. Yeah, so today we'll be talking about speedrunning, which I guess we should first define our terms. And since you're more familiar with it and you're more of a fan of it, why don't you take the lead there?
Sure. So speedrunning is based on there are at the most base level, it is going from like the start button when the game starts to the end screen of a video game. You know, like where the you win or game over, you know, like the final, the kill screen, whatever you want to call it. So it's getting from the beginning of the game to the end in the shortest amount of time, like human time, not game. Well, sometimes game time. And there are divisions, there are subdivisions, there's warpless, glitchless, all these Jerry Finch. But at the core, it's finishing a game very quickly. And it's been around for a long time. Speedrun.com is, you know, tracking these things forever, and there's all kind of other places you can play, and there's generally, you know, I think it's a lot older than people think.
What came before it. I remember the original Doom. So at least as old as the original Doom had, what it called par times for each level. So the game would essentially tell you, like, okay, this is how long you are kind of like, you know, it's not exactly expected, and it's not exactly, I don't think it was, because I know the developers themselves play the levels, and developers would typically, you know, I believe there was a developer time separate from the partner. I don't know, it's all kind of blurry. Yeah. But
back then, they would also get good at their video game. It would get pretty good at it, because
yes,
they had to play it a bunch of times.
Over and over,
so
and, over,
what
and,
is
over
a,
and over
What does
yeah.
a good player look like is kind of a part time.
Right. But the game would tell you essentially, like, here's how long you took, here's how long it, quote, should have taken you. And kind of informally encouraged improving your time to beat each level, and that was explicit in the game design, at least at the user interface level. So yeah,
speed of completion is more important to a developer, because they got to play this like 6 million times. So they're going to be doing things that are more about just making sure nothing breaks and finishing the game, as opposed to like how a player would like experience Doom, you know, ducking around a corner real quick and ducking back. The developer is like, you know, kind of hauling ass towards the end to make sure the game can handle that, you know?
Yes. And this does lead to occasional situations where, you know, games are like way too hard on release because the developers have been, this is more of a phenomenon that used to happen where developers were just so good at it that, you know, they lost all sense of it being hard, and then people were playing it for the first time and would struggle. But anyway, yeah, so the thing that I don't know that there's a wrong way to play a video game per se, so in that sense it's kind of like, it's like, who cares? The thing that I find kind of troubling or difficult to understand, or, you know, whatever, is that at a certain point, I think when the focus becomes about like playing this one game so well that you know all the chip tips and tricks, and you can shave whatever, however many seconds or fractions of a second even off of your time to complete, to me it's like you're not even really playing the game anymore. I guess if you derive enjoyment, maybe this is getting into philosophical questions about, you know, what are the sources of pleasure, and do we derive enjoyment from things and so on. But it's really, it is, and I'm sure this is a generational thing. It's hard for me to understand. it's hard for me to understand people who like are speedrunners. It's even harder for me to understand people who like watch speedrunners. I know that there's a, you know, there's this culture of streaming, and that's hard enough for me to understand watching someone else play a video game. But it's especially hard for me to understand like watching a speedrunner. So you're literally, it's the same thing over and over and over again. Just trying to, yeah, improve your time. And I just don't get it.
Okay, so you're familiar with like, you know, go like the idea of like virtuosity, like in the musical sense?
Sure, yeah, of course.
It runs a very similar instinct or appreciation level, right? Mm-hmm. So games are like an intrinsically interactive media. You have to be, like, you need a baseline level of skill. You need to improve in those skills to play a video game. And this means, but like, you don't need to be like the best. Like, you can just kind of, you can get a guitar and kind of figure it out, or a harmonica or something, you know, easier instruments. But if you watch somebody who's like a master of the harmonica or a master of the guitar, it's a much, you know, different experience than you playing it, right? And speedrunners, games are interactive in the same way like instruments are. You know, if you can't, if you have no skill, if you have no fingers, you can't play, you know, barring certain, you know, whatevers. You really can't play a video game. If you have no fingers, you can't play the guitar, kind of thing. But skill, there's also skill. There's also skill on top of that. If you have no idea how to play it, you're not going to be as good. And a better guitar player is obviously, you know, more impressive to watch. And speedrunning is a, like, it's almost like an objective measure of virtuosity. If you consider like Mario Brothers an instrument, this guy is the objectively best player at it, right? So it combines both like the subjective, like the nature of like a mastery of a thing, with also there being like, you know, oh, this guitar player is better in blah blah, Jimi Hendrix, blah blah, XYZ, whatever, like endless guitar debates. Well, what if they could like be settled, right? Like, you know, it's settling these things. It's a settled question of who is the, you know, who's the best. And in an increasingly like relativistic world and relativistic values, it's the exact opposite. You know, there's a consensus best at this run, and it's you know, very interesting.
I can appreciate it. I can appreciate what you're saying. I get that. But then it seems to.
Okay, have you ever watched like chess games between like a famous chess game with commentary?
I can't say that I have.
Okay, well, if you do, it's like a similar thing. It's like you're watching, you know, was it Kasparov play?
Yeah.
It's a similar, when you're watching somebody try to beat a speed run, he's oppositional to the previous guy who has the record, right? In that sense.
Sure. That makes sense. I just like I think one of the interesting things about it is you mentioned glitchless runs, and there's also like, what is it, any percent? Some of this terminology, I'm sure our audience mostly knows this, but just to go over it a little, there's like 100% runs would require 100% completion. Any percent run could allows for any degree of completion. These are obviously different things. Then
that's completion in the sense of like sub objectives. So like any percent means you get the end game screen no matter what. Yeah.
Right. Any percent is just you get to the credits, right? And then there's like glitching, you know, can you use bugs in the code, or are you prohibited from doing that, or can you use some bugs but not other bugs? And again, this like feeds in, I mean, the whole thing seems like this kind of autistic cul-de-sac. I certainly can appreciate. Yeah, I mean, I'll say I have watched some esports. I watch a little competitive StarCraft II, Company Heroes, RTS, I guess is I think in some ways the most natural fit, and then also some Rocket League, and when I would watch, you know, some of the Rocket League World Championships or whatever, it struck me that these players are doing things with their cars. They have a level of mastery over the controls and of, you know, understanding how the game works that I can only kind of just gawk at. And yeah, there's a kind of it can be joyful, it can be impressive to watch, you know, them hit these things, you know, to do the everything perfectly timed and perfectly executed. And yeah, if you know, I guess if you know what you're looking at, and it can be impressive in a similar way with like Super Metroid or whatever. I know that was an another.
And that's the thing. So the most watched speed runs are the most popular games. So you're also like, no one really gives a shit about your Last of Us speed run. I mean, it's a very insular community. Like the most prized speed runs are, I think the most prized in the world is probably the Mario Brothers. Like obviously, speed run because it's just. It's the game you're supposed to play. So it's also like a hearkening back to like way when games were like objectively good, better, you know? But also like the value of a speed run is increased by like, I guess, inverse scarcity. Like the more players a game has, the harder it is to speed run. So it's not, speed running as a thing is not, like it's not every game, like they're not all equal, you know, like the it's a field or there's levels to this of like hierarchy of how it works, you know.
I was actually not aware of that. I mean, I've seen so many like just kind of random niche titles, or I don't know, maybe niche is the wrong word, but I've definitely seen like essentially games I've never heard of like be featured on, what is this? Games Done Quick or Games Done Fast?
Games Done Quick is like arguably not speedrunning.
Explain it to me because I,
it's would, like a, I would con- not have known. I mean, there is, there are, it's a event for speedrunners to kind of do like head to head stuff.
It's a charity event, right? It's like,
a, yeah, a, but they're doing like, some, yeah. They're doing head to head stuff kind of, which is a thing, but it's not like the goal, right? Because the goal with speedrunning is to be the best in the world at whatever your thing you want to be the best is. It's not to, like, do the best in a specific run. So it's kind of like a... It's, like, not that it's bad, or bad inherently, but it's like, almost a different kind of... It's more like a fighting game tournament, in effect, than it is, like, a...
I don't get... How is it, like, a fighting game tournament?
It's competitive, like, with... like, the people there are competing with each other. Often
they're not, you know, trying to set records for the internet as a whole.
Sometimes they do, but generally like it's, they all get together, and also it's like,
okay,
you know,
I see.
All it's right. Also like kind of bullshit too, like it's all the, you know, the funniest thing is that it like chess or virtuosity with instruments has the same male female sorting effect of like genius, you know, which I think is good evidence, yeah. That it actually is about like a level of genius that it requires,
right. Sure,
is that they have to dig out, or I don't know what they do. They have to go find these trainees,
yeah,
to be like,
yeah, like the
male.
The one competitive Star. I mentioned StarCraft II esports earlier. Like the one competitive quote unquote female player is of course a tranny, right? So yeah, it's and you know how I do think some of that is also just not exact. I mean, you know, the famously the, you know, men are more have greater extremes on the, you know, left and right side of the bell curve. So there's more smarter men and dumber men than women, who tend to be clustered in the center. How much of it is that, and how much of it is like not directly intelligence related effects, just men like, you know, computers and all that kind of stuff is whatever. To me, that's something of an open question, but yeah, it is interesting that the speedrunning community has this problem that, you know, just, pervades across all of these.
And I will admit that Games Done Quick and a lot of speedrun shit is like, they do like dumb gay shit, obviously. There's trainees everywhere, and Dilation Station is the notorious bit.
they have a I wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think that was where that's where the meme comes from, is Games Done Quick had a Dilation Station in one of the women's restrooms, I think. Or something like that. Or like a room, or just a room you could go do that. Because it's like a long, I've never actually watched the whole thing, but it's like a multi-day event, you know? And if you're using trainees in a multi-day anything, you know, reality bites back over, you know, after 12 hours. Because of the nature of the medium, unlike, say, classical music, right, which has like,
yeah,
you know, there's like infiltration that you really can't defeat because there's only so many classical composers, so many slots and all these things. And it's inherently kind of a political networky thing. Speedrunning is like just pure Ubermensch Nietzschean. Be the best, like, you know, like you cannot take away the record from somebody, you know, no matter what, even if he says, you know, says nigger a lot, he's still the fastest guy. And I think that's good. Like it's implicitly like a white guy thing or an Asian guy thing. It's implicitly uncorruptible just by the nature of the competition. Unlike like every other sporting thing ever.
Except for cheating, which is a whole other topic. That's actually, I will say, the part of speedrunning that I find the most interesting, that has piqued my interest the greatest, because I don't believe I've ever seen, I may have seen like, you know, a clip of like the dude at the end of the No Death Dark Souls run, like actually doing it on his like, you know, 30 whatever-th attempt. And the, you know, the chat going wild or whatever. But I've never actually like seen that. What I have actually paid attention to and sought out on my own is news about people cheating at speedrunning, mainly because I find the interplay between the cheaters and the things that they have to do to cheat and the ways that they get caught just very interesting. A lot of it hinges frequently on programming, like esoteric details of how the games are compiled.
Yes. A lot of there's usually some fake RNG, is pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, fake RNG and like injecting, like, you know, you're only supposed to get some item or some whatever, you know, like a critical hit, you know, like 1% of the time, and you don't even have to get it 100% of the time. You can get it 20% of the time or 5% of the time, and it'll affect the run enough to put you over the top. One that I saw that really sticks out that was my favorite, also because, you know, I'm a fan of, we're gonna do Doom. I already mentioned it here, but I believe it was Doom, or it was one of these like old school 90s first person shooters. I think it was Doom though, and it was essentially the way that he got caught was the timing in between the keyboard inputs was too small, because the run itself looked valid. It didn't just look valid, and so, because there's easy tricks that are, you know, you can easily get caught by essentially stitching together. Typically, you'll have to upload, right, a video replay. Well, you know, there's all kinds of ways to edit video and edit it cleverly, but these are typically, you know, if there's a certain kinds of sudden cuts, will typically get caught very easily by very basic analysis. This was actually valid in terms of, like, it was a continuous run, or no, what he had done was, so each Doom replay has it creates a file, essentially, and the file includes a record of all of the input and all of the timing down to the millisecond.
This is the origin of speedrunning, actually.
Oh, really?
Because you used, when you couldn't, Doom was the first one to have like really competitive, hyper-competitive boards, because you could upload this,
right,
as verification.
Yeah.
And also you could do video, because like a speed, they would do individual level videos for like if you're doing a certain level run, because if you do it in like a minute and a half, that's a not small enough video that you can upload to this forum.
Yeah.
And then you have this like input record.
Right. So the way he got caught was it was like the time between shifting. Like it was, you know, WASD, obviously move forward, left, down, and right. The timing between like W and D input, like he would move, you know, whatever, like 1 millisecond W and then 1 millisecond D, and then 2 milliseconds W, and then 3 milliseconds D, for example. And it was just lightning fast. It was the shift in the input and the duration that individual inputs would last between like the input changing, that someone was like, this smells like bullshit. Even like the highest ranked speedrunners in the world wouldn't get below, I think, like 20 milliseconds or something. And we're seeing single digit millisecond shifts in input. And when pressed, eventually the guy had to admit, like, yeah, I believe he was slowing the game down to 1/4 speed, and so like all the inputs were essentially being like the real inputs were times 4, And he was using the I think the first thing that caught their attention was he was dodging like fireballs or something that was, you know, normally very hard to dodge, but he kept doing it over and over again. And that was what alerted people. And then when they looked at the input record, they noticed like, oh yeah, well he's using like, you know, single digit millisecond timings to avoid these fireballs in very kind of, you know, suspicious ways. And yeah, that eventually had to be, eventually was exposed.
So for the most competitive records, things like the, you know, Mario Brothers record and like some of the GoldenEye and Doom stuff, it's not the only acceptable way to break the record, but generally it's you have to be doing it live on like Twitch or something. You have to have a camera on you, a camera on your hands, and the game feed with the timer going. And now you are allowed to upload still, like the traditional, like just you recording yourself playing, but you will get like, you'll get like, it's basically an asterisk, like, hey, you gotta do this live. If you can do it, you know, doing it live for the most competitive records is like the expected way. And I think most of the major records right now, which are like Mario Brothers, I think Doom 100%, I think they're all, a lot of the Pokemon records also. They're almost all done live now, like the top guys. Because if you're the top guy,
so how do you speed run Pokemon? Like, have you seen any of this? Are you familiar with this? Because
I watched. Yeah.
How does that?
I watched one with my friends once as well.
I'm just okay. So is it like, because Pokemon? I mean, you mean like Game Boy or the original Pokemon?
I believe one I watched was Leaf Green.
Man, this is another generational divide thing. Like, I don't fuck. I'm sorry.
It's a very early, but not the earliest.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because like the earliest Pokemon, it's basically an original NES Nintendo game played at that kind of plodding pace on a Game Boy.
Yes, so that's why they're so competitive, is because it's an RPG. You have to be beating it with the absolute minimum level shit.
Okay.
And it's an RPG, so it's very hard. So you have to play it very so with obviously action games, it's like just getting through it quickly.
RPGs, so grinding is like, normally you would grind to.
It's basically
you can't grind. Yeah,
you basically can't grind. So you're doing things. You're upgrading like as little, you know, the most time. I guess what do we call it? Like the most time to like character improvement ratio items and stuff. And it's interesting in other ways. It's not like it is obviously requires a little of like speed and skill. And memorization, like they all do, but it's about more of like spreadsheeting it, you know, because it's a, like I said, the RNG is an issue in Pokemon. There's a level of RNG in the speedrun, but also it's like, well, I can't count on this drop, so of my sure things, what's the fastest way to do it, you know? And it's it's absolutely, you know, interesting. You know, also there are like, there are like boring parts in any speedrun, you know, if it's a long speed, I think it's like an hour, you know. You can fast forward to like, well, how the hell does he beat that boss, you know, with like a level three Bulbasaur? Well, you know, maybe go to that part. You don't have to watch the whole thing, right? It's like, this is that's generational or whatever, but like, some people who are trying to, if you want to disprove the run or you don't like the guy, you'll maybe watch the whole thing, see if he's cheating. But, you know, I'm not going to generally watch like the entire speedrun. I'll watch, like if I'm watching an Elden Ring speedrun, I'm like, how did he get past this thing?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's generally how that goes. And obviously, you know, it's a level of skill, and I appreciate it in that respect. And I also like the objectivity of it. I like it scratches a lot of issues at once for a lot of people. I think some people just
here's another interesting thing about it though is patches, right? Because I've seen also, I mean, they're talking about like autistic rabbit holes that the I think this particular hobby or way of engaging.
That's the reason why I think older games are generally more prestigious,
yeah,
as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Because like you'll see shit like Elden Ring patch VO3 records, yeah, you know, right. And those are less prestigious than like, generally the most prestigious patches are like either the final patch that's done when it's no longer be updated,
yeah,
or patch. You know.
Yeah, the original like release, yeah, whatever that is. Sure. Yeah, because I mean that's the thing. I it's sort of part of it is a generational divide. Part of it is that phenomenon of like when it, you know, the the internet ruined many things. One of them is video games in certain specific ways. It used to be that when a game released, that was it, and not just because, you know, in the real old days, and you know, the cartridge days, it was literally, there was physically no way to patch software. The software shipped on a hard-coded read-only memory ROM, like physical silicon chip, and that was it. And if you hypothetically wanted to change the software in that chip, you would either, you know, there was no way to do it. You would need a new cartridge, right? You would need a new physical chip, essentially. And so that meant, like, that had several consequences. One of which, as you know, people talk about from time to time, is not that old games were perfect by any stretch, or, you know, obviously bugs have always existed and will always exist, but they tended to be a lot cleaner, because there was no second bite at the apple. And yeah, it was just that, you know, once the game shipped, then that was it. And you couldn't fix any bugs. So you better not have any bugs, or as few as possible. Number two, you know, there's memes going around sometimes about, you know, you see like the picture of the Mona Lisa, and how games used to be was they were sold, you know, as the complete Mona Lisa. And then they used to be sold with expansion packs, and now it's, you know, DLC, and you only get like half the Mona Lisa, and you have to pay $5 for each little piece of the Mona, you know, for 10 little pieces of the Mona Lisa to get the whole thing. The reality is, even, you know, I think a lot of that is driven by essentially broadband internet, because even when you had those big DLC packs, which were nice and sometimes were quite substantial and really practically games in their own right, those were the days. Typically those would ship on 700 megabyte CDs. Even with early broadband, that would have been not quite a stretch, but pre-torrent broadband, that would have been tough to get all at once. And certainly on dial-up, it was just prohibitive. So up until the, let's say, mid-2000s, it was just extremely just technically difficult to pirate, and also I guess you could always, you know, burn CDs if you wanted to pirate, but as far as like the relationship, the way that you would get software updates or extra content, you know, the patches have existed since the 90s, you know, gaming patches have been a thing, but even those, you know, these are just a couple megabyte files. It was nothing huge, and the games themselves were a lot smaller too, right? So yeah, the idea of like there was just much less of a concept until fairly recently of the game being a thing that evolves over time. For the most part, up until, again, roughly I guess the early to mid 2000s, the game was a published text more or less the same way that, you know, like whatever, you know, the some edition of like a Jane Austen novel would be. And yeah, okay, sometimes there's some, you know, very minor variations potentially, especially across things like, you know, different, I'm unaware of, I presume the speedrunning community has different records for like the Sega Genesis versus the Super Nintendo version of Aladdin or The Lion King or something.
Yes, and generally Super Nintendo is the preferred. And when there is a linguistic barrier, it's very based, or a localization barrier, they default to either the fastest, like, so Japanese characters are faster than American because they're not spelling it. Fewer characters, or words are made of fewer characters, right? So generally they either default to the fastest or the Japanese version, depending on the game. Mm-hmm. So which also creates another thing. You see some guy who doesn't speak Japanese who has memorized, you know.
Sure, right. He just knows those specific characters are not even. He just, like,
he's
knows
playing them. Chrono Trigger as fast as he can.
Right.
Yeah. Which is another thing where, you know, it's obviously, it's not, like, that's, you're enjoying Chrono Trigger the wrong way. Whatever. But,
Well, Chrono Trigger is an interesting case, because that's definitely, as we discussed on our Chrono Trigger episode, and we will also be, we have to return to our JRPG series. I think Final Fantasy 3/6 has to be next on the list, because that's as a kid, it was more emotionally impactful, and I enjoyed it overall more than Chrono Trigger. I played, however, Chrono Trigger way more, and I played it over and over again because I wanted to get all the endings, and I also wanted to beat, in particular, I wanted to get the not exactly best ending, but the hardest ending to get, which is the you get by beating Lavos essentially in the opening minutes with only two characters instead of three, which is really hard. And in order to do it, you have to grind a shit ton. So I ground a shit ton. Is it ground or grinded? That's a question.
It's like maybe it's like one of those hang tongue things.
That's what I'm asking.
Is JRPG grinding different than like?
But anyway, yeah. So I ran through Chrono Trigger a bunch until I had Chrono and Marl leveled up to the point where they could beat Lavos by themselves without a third character. So yeah, it'd be interesting to like consider. Do you know, is that a challenge? I mean, I think I've seen it before that like,
almost everything has a,
sure,
like best ending is definitely one of them, or fastest way to 100%.
Fastest way to beat Lavos with Chrono and Marl at the Millennial Fair.
So there's also the move, which we bring it like things like Chrono Trigger brings in like the second element of, or the, I don't know, whatever, another element of speedrunning, which is like, basically nakedly oppositional to the developers. Like, fuck yeah. You, yeah, I'm yeah, going yeah, to yeah, break yeah, your yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't yeah, need yeah. to grind for 6 hours.
Right.
I can
right.
do it this way. And, like, there's levels of, like, research. Like, there's, like, a research element as well. Like, in this similar way, chess masters will research openings. Guys are going deep into the books of, like, this game and what works how. And there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of research in a... So there's, I guess I can call them, like, two types of speedrunners. There are, or three actually, because there's like the people who just do the known run better, and then there are the people who like actually try to innovate and like do a new thing to speed up a known run, and the third is guys who are, they do what's called tool assisted. It's just you basically have the whole thing as a program and have like the program run it, like you get all the inputs together and you just hit go and do the game. And that's obviously like a different, it's a different category of speedrunning called tool assisted, but it's also a way of place where people use that stuff to research, like the, because obviously some things aren't doable by humans, but if you can watch like the fastest way a computer can do this game, you can learn things to apply in how you do the game. So yeah, with the JRPG stuff, it's a lot of it is like research based on like, you know, how can I, you know, get this item before I should is a big thing. Generally, things get, especially with older games, the glitches are considered more acceptable because they're like well known, you know, or they're like not you're not like, you know, breaking anything. Like it's kind of like, is it like cheating your way into a warp zone or things like that are generally considered acceptable because everybody knows about it and it's just the way it's been done. With newer games, you'll think like a glitchless run or a warpless run is often more respected. Like I think so. Three things I've heard, like the Elden Ring glitch run is like 2.5 minutes, or even less now. I think it might be sub 1 minute. It's been a while since I looked at the Elden Ring stuff, but. The more prestigious run in that case is like all bosses, right? Which is like a 3-hour run and it very high skill. So there's always this kind of tension. So even the obviously even with, so that's like a heavily researched run that's not very hard. Like Elden Ring run is, I mean, it's probably difficult, but it's more about like the research and then kicking over this series of buckets in the right way to, you know, make this whole thing load basically you make it load wrong, and then you trick the game into loading the final boss, but not the floor of the final boss fight, and then you win. Are you there? Are you there, DK?
Yeah, I'm just in awe. Okay. So that's and that would still count as like
that's glitch. That's not glitchless. So it's less prestigious than like a glitchless all bosses run or a glitchless Elden Ring run. It's more prestigious than like I just broke this game real good and beat it in a minute. Any percent, all glitches, Elden Ring. I think it was at least 2 minutes last time I checked. It's constantly being changed because of, you know, it's a the modern games are easier to glitch through because of the complex, you know, the inherent complexity of it. Obviously,
sure. Yeah.
Because, like you said, like there's also more holes in it. But the unfortunately, Elden Ring, you'll get the problem with like the developers will see that shit and fix it because it's like still in this 18-month window of them pushing right. patches. So those, which gets to the oppositional thing of like it comes in, like, it's like an arms race in that respect too, like where it's like, well, fuck you, you can't do that anymore on, you know, version 4, but you know, it kind of is what it is. But also, you can go black and play for the version 4 record if you want. You can just, you know, load an old save, and that's considered acceptable. Like, it's not considered bad form to like go back to the 0.0 patch and go for those records, you know. But yeah, so there's an oppositional, and like one of the things is like watch. There's a whole genre of video on YouTube which is watching game developers watch the best speed run of their game, and it's usually it's really good. Obviously, it's like they're always like, whoa, you know, they're always because like you know the at a certain point, speedrunners know more about it than the devs in certain respects, and they're yeah, I think somebody beat unless like somebody beating Cuphead in like, you know, 20 minutes or whatever. And Cuphead's obviously designed to be this like, you know, kind of like this skill grind, you know.
It's tough. We could do Cuphead maybe sometime, or I don't know if there's enough there maybe, or
didn't Stryker talk about how much he liked it?
Yeah, at some point. Yeah.
I think we can get him on a Cuphead episode.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But anyway,
but yeah.
Sorry,
that's
on.
My. I don't have any more for my defense. I think that's kind of hit all my notes. Basically, it's based and it's kind of implicitly racist. All your favorite boomer games are represented. Like, kids are playing GoldenEye runs. I forgot. Probably the most prestigious N64 game is GoldenEye.
Yeah, I think recently or just it's the 25th.
It's the anniversary today, isn't it?
The anniversary or today or yesterday? Yeah, was the anniversary 25th anniversary. 25th anniversary release of the release of GoldenEye, which, maybe at some point, like as a kind of thing, four player video games, especially N64 games, is it was a revolution at the time. I don't know. We're talking about something else now, but it's hard to overstate how impactful that was, I think, and yeah, now that everybody's doing everything online, how you know it like local multiplayer isn't really a thing anymore, and that's very sad.
Yeah, have you ever had the experience of going to like go to different like I think we were playing War Game once with some friends, and we had to go in different rooms of the house because it's a strategy game.
Absolutely, yeah, I've had that.
Yeah,
of course.
It's a lot of fun, but it's different than like all being on the same couch, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we have to go in different rooms so you can't see my hand, kind of thing. But it is what it is. I'm not overly like a lot of towards the end, couch co-op got very I guess we call it like shovelware tier, you know, like the amount of Wii $2 games.
Yeah. But you can't. I don't think you can like judge, you know, GoldenEye, Star Fox, Mario, the original Mario.
Yeah, but like there's a reason that the online games overtook that.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Like if they were making good, you know, couch co-op games, they would be played. Like I assure you, you know, like people were pissed that like when I think one of the new Halos didn't have a co-op. It had co-op, but it didn't have like a co-op campaign. I think or. Rating
right, yeah.
But it still had co-op multiplayer, but like, people were pissed. Like, people do want it. They're just, like, willing to forego it, you know? Also, now with giant TVs, it's probably easier. You know? The size of TVs has exploded, so...
Yes.
It's kind of an open market. Like, if you have somebody... And there are indie games that do it. Spelunky
There are a couple. Well. Yeah, it's not completely dead, but I think even Cuphead allowed for it, as I recall.
It did, yeah.
But, yeah, for the most part, it's, like... Yeah, well, it's just you know how you know, nobody goes to each other's houses anymore, hardly anyway. So,
well, the thing is also when you do now, it's like it feels like we should do something that we can't do. You know, anyway, every day, you know, like we can play online games whenever we want. I'm at your house now. We're gonna do something
like do something else. Yeah.
Do anything else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, funny. So anyway, we'll
touch grass, you know.
Yeah. So I don't know how much more I necessarily have to say about speedrunning. I'm curious if the audience people want to talk about.
I think there's the criticism I thought you were bringing up, that like, because you kind of alluded to the cul-de-sac thing, like that this generation's Wernher von Braun is making a tool-assisted Mario Brothers run, which is like, yeah, true.
Yeah, there's so many other things that are, I mean, like, is this generation's Wernher von Braun going to be allowed to, you know, is he going to get admitted to a rocket engineering graduate program over the, you know, diversity affirmative action people? Like, it's just, there's so many other, like, no, that, yeah, it's not that people, you know, yeah, people waste their time in all sorts of ways, but it's hard to, like, no,
they make podcasts and listen to podcasts.
Exactly. It's one of these, it's like, I mean, I just, plus at a certain level, I mean, okay, yeah, there are, I don't want to be, I'm not a nihilist. I am, in fact, you know, maybe even unduly optimistic. I am an optimist, but I'm also a realist, and the reality is that this society, like, it structurally doesn't allow for the kinds of excellence and individual achievement that produced it, and that's, you know, a major factor in its decline. So I don't really give a shit if you have, you know, literal geniuses who are quote unquote wasting their time on, yeah, even speedrunning. It's like, I mean, at a certain point it's sad, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't, you know, have interests or do other things. But yeah, as far as like, I mean, what are you going to prop up this gay dying empire? Like, please just no.
Also, like, if were you to say, was it made Dictator Mario, I wouldn't ban speedrunning. It's probably keeping people out of doing much more, you know, degenerate things. If you want to, you know, get really blackballed about it, like, I'd rather this be a speedrunning Discord server with 20,000 people in it than a literally anything else Discord server, you know?
Right.
There's a level of, you know, objective truth and, you know, skill. It's also, like, what's funny is the Japanese have kind of always had it, as obviously, if, you know, if the Japanese take their video games probably more seriously than the West. And in the recent years, speedrunning has just become a part of, like, Mario stuff, like new Mario product, the Mario Maker stuff. People are basically like, there's created a whole separate like subgenre of it where people will make difficult levels for each other to speedrun, and like getting this, there are now like very prestigious speedruns in that are like made by speedrunners to be hard. And it's part of the in-game stuff is like, which like your account gets a badge when you have the speedrun for this level. Which is very interesting. It's been fully embraced by Nintendo, at least, if not like Japan broadly, which I think always appealed to a you know, I think the Japanese have always kind of liked the memorization aspect of it. I think the current record for playing Mario Brothers blindfolded belongs to the Japanese, which is another funny like subgenre I kind of wanted to bring up real quick.
That's insane. So is it blindfolded and like no sound, or just blindfolded? Or are those two different kinds of speed?
Good question. I think it's just blindfolded with sound. But I'm not 100% on that. But I will say it's hyper impressive, obviously. But with like certain runs that are say sub 5 minutes or sub 10 minutes, it's very feasible to like memorize the button presses instead of the like to just do it as a piece of music you've remembered on an NES controller, you know? Effectively you're kind of playing a like Guitar Hero at a certain point,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So once you get to like that level, closing your eyes actually is kind of immaterial to most of the game, you know? Which is pretty cool. But once again, that's like things like when you watch a gymnast do a handstand on one finger. It's kind of that level. It's like it's a virtuosity thing more than it's not like, you know, world changing, but it is like impressive to watch, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
Hey, I think we're wrapped up. I think we're kind of wrapped up on the topic.
It's short. Yeah, that's.
We could also kind of discuss, I think, how we're going to change the format for.
Yeah, so I think rather than do big long, we want to
2-3 hours.
Yeah, we want to release more regularly. So rather than do big long 2-3 hour shows, if we, you know, if we have that much content, which we frequently, I think, will on, you know, more substantial topics, we're gonna break it up into hour ish long chunks. Try to release those weekly. See how that goes. If it sucks, if it's unnatural, then whatever. But I think it'll be better to kind of keep us on a more regular schedule and to have, you know, you guys get content more regularly as well. So let's see how that goes. If it just totally fails and sucks, then oh well. But yeah. Anyway, so keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out. I think I'm just gonna blow through the last bit of Elden Ring and we'll see. And then maybe then we won't have to worry about if it's like a part 3, part 4. If we, you know, however long it is, we'll do it and we'll just, you know, release it over that many weeks. So anyway, till next time, take care, everybody. We'll be right back.